to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Guizel. I'm recording this on a Monday morning, and I gotta tell you, today is my dog Morty's birthday. Today is Morty's birthday, and it's just a special day in the house because the thing is, like, my dog has a sensitive tummy, so I don't want to give him too many treats on his birthday. But also, it's his birthday, but I don't think he understands the concept of birthday, so his birthday is just a day where, like, he gets to eat a special dog cookie, and it's just nice, and sometimes we put a little hat on him, and we just like to think about him extra today, and it's just very nice. I love him. I love my firstborn son. He is a dream. Yesterday, I took him to Pups in the Park, which I strongly believe is the best day of the year. In Los Angeles, the second best day of the year is when they do, like, the LA Marathon, and then you can't, like, if you plan ahead, you can't cross over, so you can get into, like, really hard to get in restaurants for breakfast. It's just nice because we walk around, there'll be nobody out, which I guess was more of a novelty before the pandemic. Now we're pretty used to nobody being out for an extended period of time. However, Pups in the Park, best day of the year. I had so much fun with Morty. And a lot of times, you know, when you bring your dog out, it's like, a lot, the vibe in LA is like, dogs are pretty welcome everywhere, but it's like, I think it's okay. Like, I think, like, you bring them to a coffee shop, that feels good. Restaurant's a little iffy, you gotta sit outside. I don't bring Morty to any grocery stores, I don't bring him in any, like places that sell food like that. But usually I'm Midwestern, I get a little scared. I don't wanna, like, break any rules that I don't know about. And bringing him to Dodger Stadium when everything is set up for dogs to be there is heaven. Like, you show up, you check in, they check vaccinations, you walk in. They are, like, they have patches of actual grass around that dogs can go to the bathroom on. They're, like, going in a bathroom stall with a dog is also a mind-blowing experience. Like, how funny. But you get to show up, you get to do the parade, you get to walk the entire field, and everyone's there and, like, clapping along and so happy to see the dogs. People are just so happy. Dogs make everything better. There's a Shohei Ohtani walk-around who, like, kind of looks like a bobblehead cartoon version of Shohei, and I walked in and saw him immediately, and then I saw that character last time with Morty, and, like, I saw him this time. It was so magical. I ran into friends' dogs, I ran into friends with their dogs. It was really, really nice. It was a really great LA day, and it was a little hot, but my friend Amy happened to have her seats, and she had extra seats, as it was a little too hot for her dog, so her dog went home. She had extra seats in the only row in the shade. A miracle upon miracles. We had a wonderful time. Morty had a blast, and it really was the best way to celebrate his birthday. But we're not here to talk about my guy Mort, as much as I wish he could know how great a Disney cruise is. We are here to recap my wonderful, wonderful Disney Cruise Line sailing to Alaska that I went on the other week. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about Alaska, and hopefully by the end of this episode, you will know if this is a sailing that you should plan on going on, or if you're, like, more of a Caribbean vibe. I think the way I broke this down makes a lot of sense. You'll really enjoy it. I'm going to tell you all about the trip. It's the longest I've ever been on a Disney cruise ship. That scared me at first. Spoiler alert, it did not scare me at the end. It was amazing. I, like, already can't wait to get back on. I cannot wait to get back on a cruise. So I will not yap any longer. I will see you on the other side of the ad break. Stay tuned. We have so much to talk about. There's so much I didn't know about how different an Alaska sailing is on Disney Cruise Line. Stick around. I can't wait to tell you more about it. Okay, love you. Love you, bye. Welcome back. Today, we are discussing what it's really like to go on an Alaskan Disney cruise. And if you heard that lump in the background, that was just Morty. Listen, like I said, it's his birthday. I don't want to kick him out of the podcast office. I love that he's here. Now, Alaska is a hot cruising destination right now. And in case you haven't heard, two Disney Cruise Line ships will be doing Alaskan itineraries in 2026. Currently, it is just the Disney Wonder. That is what I just disembarked from. But the Disney Wonder and the Disney Magic, which are sister ships, will be doing Alaska in 2026. So if you start hearing a lot about Alaska, this is kind of why. The demand is high. People are really loving the itineraries, so much so that even more ships are going. Now, to give you a top-level summary of what we did, we flew to Vancouver the night before our cruise, and we did a 7-night sailing on the Wonder. It consisted of 2 full at-sea days, that first day where you get on the ship kind of in the middle of the day and you just kind of get your bearings, a glacier day where you are still on the boat but you're looking at a glacier, and 3 days in cities in Alaska. I sailed in I believe it was a family veranda stateroom. Essentially, it's a little bigger, it has a balcony, and I have experienced it working really well for if you have a child. I mean, that's kind of what it's intended for, but a bigger room is always better. It's always better when it comes to hotel rooms. To give you kind of a rundown of what this is one of the oldest ships that Disney Cruise Line has. It's actually 25 years old. It's the second oldest ship. And when I say it's a 25-year-old cruise ship, what I'm picturing is not what you see on board. They take care of these ships and they maintain them so well that you would never know this thing is like old enough to have an actual job in a bustling American city. It looks great. The carpeting is beautiful. There's very, very nothing. There's like nothing wrong with it. Sometimes you'll look at just like the caulking in a corner and be like, oh, this isn't brand new. But otherwise, this ship is fantastic. Do not let something being an older ship deter you when it comes to Disney Cruise Line. This ship is most popularly known for having Tiana's Place, a wonderful themed restaurant aboard. It is the best restaurant on the ship. And it is fantastic. With Disney Cruise Line, you rotate between restaurants. So you have 3 different restaurants that you transfer through each and every night, and your waitstaff follows you. There's Triton's, which is a pretty straightforward, nice, vaguely Little Mermaid themed restaurant. I love them for some of their French dishes, like escargot. There's Animator's Palette, which is on many of the ships, and it's a colorful romp through the history of animation. That was a wonderful way to say that. I don't know if I could ever think of that phrase again. It also has special show elements. During one of them, a character comes out at the end. Wink, wink. Bet you can guess who. And the other one is that, this is very exciting, and it was my first time doing it on this cruise, there's a placemat that with a little person on it, and you draw the person, and something magical happens with the person on screen at the end. It is wonderful. It is wonderful. It is wonderful. I have been on the ship before. I have not done a sailing like this on it. And I was very excited because the first thing you need to know about sailing Alaska with Disney Cruise Line is that this is nothing like your standard Disney cruise. You really can't compare this to any other Disney cruise. My friend Carly Caramano, who was also on board, immediately said, like day one, was like, this feels like an Adventures by Disney trip. And I absolutely agree. By the end, I really felt like I was on a river cruise, which are known for being kind of small and intimate and slower. I felt like I was on that, but aboard a Disney Cruise Line vessel. There really is more of an emphasis on adventure and getting out there and doing things. There's a difference on this ship because you'll sit down at dinner, you'll talk to your incredible waitstaff, the cast members of Disney Cruise Line. I cannot praise them enough. But you'll sit down and it's really the difference between them asking, oh, did you have a nice day today on the island? And them saying, what did you do today? What did you see? That emphasis is much, much different here. And just, I don't know, kind of focusing on adventure and exploration and getting out there and seeing something special you couldn't see back at home is what this is all about. It really is so much more than just a cruise. It's kind of an Alaskan adventure trip where the mode of transportation is a Disney cruise ship. Now, I am going to be extremely honest in this episode, just like we always are, but I want to make sure you know, because I posted about how much I love this, we will keep it real here on Very Amusing. And I went into this quite fearful about the length. It was a 7-night cruise, and it's the longest Disney cruise I had ever been on. And when I tell you, I had nothing to worry about. I, by the end, was so thankful we had a final at-sea day, because by the time you get into the swing of things and you're in ports and you're doing so much, I was missing the ship. I literally missed being aboard the ship. And I'm saying that having been on the ship at sea without going on land for about 3 days. And that was something I was pretty nervous about before I went on this. When I tell you, I never thought this is what I'd be telling you when I came back. I thought I'd be like, yeah, it was pretty intense. It was pretty intense. We were at sea for a while. Not at all. Like the first port we went to, Skagway, it took me hours before I realized, oh, I'm on land now. It didn't even clock with me that we had been on a ship for that long until I'd been in Skagway for literally like 3.5-4 hours. So trust me when I tell you, if that is deterring you from going on a long Disney cruise, which it had for me, and this is my job, trust me, It's so much fun on board, and especially on this sailing. I can't say if it's the same for like a Caribbean Bahamian sailing, but for this one, not something to be concerned with at all. And part of the reason I felt that way is because it was so lovely. This is the most blissful sailing I've ever been a part of, hands down, and might possibly be the most blissful one I will ever experience. The water was so calm. There were two at-sea days, which had portions where the boat was moving. I'm gonna be real. It was moving. People be taking Dramamine. The final morning was the roughest of the sailing, but nowhere near the roughest I've ever experienced on a ship. It's just like, whoa, okay, there is movement. We are, in fact, not at a hotel pretending we are at a destination. We're just kind of moving and grooving. Nothing bad. Didn't keep me from anything. Didn't harm me. I didn't take Dramamine. Other people did, just to set the scene. If I take Dramamine, that means the ship is moving. I didn't. We were good. But dude, when you are in the middle of the sailing, the days between the ports, it felt like we were in the smoothest water in the world. I never wanted it to end. I was just walking around being like, this is heaven. This is heaven. It felt like we were actually at a Disney hotel at sea. It did not at all feel like a cruise ship. And there was so much that was so unique about being on board during this. It was the best views you will ever see on a cruise. Like, you're so close to land at a certain point that I saw a lighthouse on the shore from my cabin stateroom. I was like, there's a lighthouse and I feel like I could swim to it. I stared at snow-capped mountains and stunning trees. I could not get enough of the views. And I don't want to slam open ocean. I mean, the ocean's beautiful, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't quite do it for me like this one did. I mean, it's lovely, it's beautiful, but looking at trees while you're on a Disney cruise ship, that is my vibe. And I loved it. Alaska's terrain really reminded me actually of Colorado, so much of Colorado. Just sitting in like a little pub on the Wonder, looking out a window, seeing shore, seeing buildings, seeing trees. It was so rad in a way that I didn't anticipate. And Alaska, as you've probably heard, really is quite magnificent. It's a beautiful state filled with gorgeous sights and wonderful people. But I'm gonna be straight up with you guys. I liked Alaska, but I loved Alaska with Disney Cruise Line. Alaska on its own, I don't know if it did it for me. And I get why people are obsessed with these sailings, but it truly is the Disney piece that tips it over the edge. There's just something about experiencing the world in this very real way and then coming back and being on a Disney vacation. Squeezing this much life and this many memories into one day is something that you can only do when you travel with Disney because of the storytelling, the theming, the thought that goes into every single experience you have on that ship, which just parallels what you are experiencing when you step off of it. Because again, I would happily sail to Alaska on Disney Cruise Line again, but I don't think I would do a different cruise line to Alaska. To the Bahamas, the Caribbean, I mean, sure, I'll try it. I'm open-minded. But here, I really think you gotta do Disney. And I know, I am saying that from a point of privilege. This is a 7-day cruise. It is a long one, and it requires a flight to Vancouver. For a lot of us, that is international. I get it. The cost is not something I am looking at flippantly. The price of my room was quite high. I get it. But I just feel like Alaska is so hyped and praised and so popular lately. Again, Disney is doubling down its ships. And I really don't want to be caught in the echo chamber of like, Alaska, so beautiful. You gotta go. So what I'm saying is this. Alaska is beautiful. It is a wonderful place to visit. I had a blast. But the Alaska of it all, I don't think was enough to get me to come back here. But if you paired the majesty of a Disney ship with the glorious beauty of Alaska, I am back in a heartbeat. I would go again. And I don't want to sound, again, I don't want to sound like a shill, like, ooh, if you travel, it must be with Disney. But I think for this one, you kind of want it to be with Disney. Because this is a big trip. And sailing to Alaska with Disney is a unbelievably special way to combine two vacations in one. The beauty of the natural terrain in Alaska and the absolute joy of spending time aboard a Disney Cruise Line ship. The two of those enhance each other to make one spectacular trip you cannot experience anywhere else. There's just something, really special happening when the two are combined. I mean, the two together were so good that this trip made me fall in love with the Disney wonder. This sailing felt completely different from the one I did in San Diego, even though I sailed on the exact same ship exactly 3 months ago. 3 months ago! I sometimes go 3 months between seeing my best friends or going to restaurants I love. And here, the experiences were kind of night and day. On our San Diego sailing in March, I felt like we didn't really do anything. I mean, maybe because it was mostly port days, so there wasn't as much going on the ship, and we couldn't really do excursions because Pearl was too young for a lot of that stuff. But I was kind of, the morning when we got off the ship, I was like, all right, I think I'm ready to go. Like, I'm fine to go home. And I love a Disney Cruise Line sailing. 3 months later, same ship, completely different experience. We spent that sailing just kind of like watching movies, sitting on the deck, eating ice cream, not really doing much. It was fun, but I wasn't moved by it. And here, Alaska's cool, but it's not cool enough to convince me to single-handedly be obsessed with the Disney wonder. Like, obsessed. I had so much fun on the sailing that I had an hour to kill in one of the ports, and I was like, I think I'm just gonna head back to my stateroom and chill with Pearl while I look at the gorgeous, picturesque harbor I can see out of my stateroom cabin. And it's not just the basic stuff. Like, I'm not so Disney-pilled where I'm like, you need to go with Disney so that you get a Mickey wobble and you get to hug Goofy. I really think something special is happening on these Alaskan Disney Cruise Line itineraries. And I think there's a few different things at play. Because it's really not just the itinerary with ports actually worthy of deeming this a vacation. I genuinely think, I have a hypothesis, this is my theory. I genuinely think people are happier on this sailing. The guests, whew, unmatched. Everyone is joyful. Everyone is nice. It really felt like a community, almost like staying at a Disney Vacation Club resort. Y'all heard me talk about my stay at Old Key West on a prior episode. That was a minute ago. But basically, I stayed there and was like, what is this oasis within Walt Disney World? It is the chillest Disney World resort because people there aren't stressed. They're not pressed. They're not waking up, rope dropping, sprinting, and running. There is no pressure. And that's how this felt aboard the ship. Everyone was in good spirits. No one was overheated. The weather really quelled a lot of that, you know, like that hot weather, run around pool, sunscreen stress. But also, I think it's because this isn't a sailing you casually book on a whim, drive to, and just kind of show up at. Nobody is here randomly. Going on an Alaska sailing, it takes planning. For a lot of people, it takes a flight to Canada. Like, it takes an extra layer of effort and of planning, and I really think that makes a difference. The length of our cruise also brought so much zen energy. On a 3-day, everyone's kind of running around trying to get to the character before they don't see them again. There's shows every night and you got to squeeze all the juice out so quick. But this, because you have these excursions and these days at sea and this ship time and you're there for quite a while, it's so much less pressure without sacrificing how much stuff there is to do on board. Now, I do imagine that is true for longer cruises because this is the longest Disney cruise I've ever been on. But Alaska is such a feather in the cap kind of sailing where cruising is concerned that I think that that is really amplified here. The people are just happy to be here, soaking it all up. The vibe was unmatched on these sailings. Everyone was kind and friendly. We're chit-chatting with people in line. We're talking with them about their beautiful door decor. I made new friends. Pearl made new friends. It's like Disney without the pressure or stress, which is the ideal version of traveling Disney, to a heightened level on this itinerary specifically. But I suspect this sailing isn't just special for the guests. I think it's also special for the cast members on board. Disney cast members, as you know, are exceptional, especially on Disney Cruise Line. But this cruise, I had to send in a cast compliment for 5 people, and I pulled back because I easily could have done more. And that's on top of the survey. By the way, if you do Disney Cruise Line, you gotta do this survey. It's so important and it's so easy to forget. It's on the last night when, like, you're packing and there's the goodbye moment, and then you're like, you gotta put your bags outside, and like, you gotta download all your photos because your photos just, like, disappear. They get sucked into the abyss afterwards. I don't know why that is. Why can I make it to land? My photos can't make it to land. Why do I have to download them the last night and, like, panic that I'm gonna forget? Anyway, in all that chaos, you have to do the survey. This survey is so important for these cast members. I always do the survey and I always write a lot of stuff, and I hope it makes it to the wherever the people see it. The people see it, people's bosses, I hope they see it. Anyway, everyone on the ship was exceptional, and I really think it's because they were having a great time. It just kind of feels like, I don't know, it feels like the staff is happier here. And I think there is something at play with that. I think there's a mix of really smooth seas, longer itineraries, cooler weather, easy ports to visit if you have the day off. You can just bop off and back before work. And there's just jaw-dropping views out of the windows when you're just walking around, getting from place to place. The Alaska of it all enhanced the Disney Cruise Line of it all, and it just made everything great. And then there's the cruise itself. There's something about the juxtaposition between a Disney cruise vacation and a real-life exploring adventure type of vacation where when you put them together, it is magic. When we think of Disney Cruise Line, I often think of Bahamas and Caribbean and their Florida ports and the incredible new fleet of ships that are departing out of there and Disney's two island destinations and like seeing Mickey on an island and bathing suits and all of that. But there are low-key incredible other destinations these ships go to, like the European ones and the Med cruises and Norway. I don't even want to watch a video about Norway because I will be booking immediately. I have that 10% bounce back thing that I booked in March. Like, I know, listen, I know Mouseman Travel will be getting an email about Norway in the future. I'm just trying to wait a minute between cruises. Anyway, judging from the fact that both older Disney ships are now hiking off to Alaska, it's very clear people are starting to realize just how special a destination cruise can be for this two-in-one combination vacation feeling. And I know I sound brainwashed, okay? But if someone invited me on an Alaska cruise today from a different company, I would say no, because I truly believe in my bones it would be half of the trip I experienced. And I know this is a bucket list trip for a lot of people. Money, I get it. I don't want to lead you down a path of something I don't wholeheartedly believe in. But I actually think, and I didn't think this would be my takeaway, I think it's worth saving up for doing Alaska with Disney versus not doing it at all and kicking the can down the road. We're going to get into it, I promise. But after 7 nights on the Wonder going to Alaska, that's my takeaway. The Disney piece of it made the entirety of the trip fantastic because it became this sightseeing expedition and a Disney vacation rolled into one. And I keep saying this, it's a two-in-one combination vacation. Oh, that actually, feel free to use that Disney Cruise Line, that sounds good. But traveling with Disney kind of turns these transportation days at sea, days where I feel like on other cruise lines, maybe you'd relax, you'd read a book, you'd hang out. It turns it into a vacation equivalent to that of the day you would have in these ports, which without the Disney touches that you get on board, I don't think it would resonate as much. The at-sea programming is so good on Disney Cruise Line that I had too much to do. And I know that's how I am. I know I have too much to do all the time. I wanted to do everything and I couldn't even cram it all in. Let me tell you my schedule for one of the at-sea days. When I thought, you know, before I went on this, oh, I'd be sitting around bored. I'm like, I literally packed work to do that I fell behind on at home because I'm like, yeah, I'll get it done. I'll just go to Cove Cafe for a few hours. You know, I'll really kill some time, get some chores done, do all these things. On an at-sea day, I woke up. I went to Cove Cafe around 8:30. I chilled for a bit, did some work, had my iced latte, came downstairs, saw the princesses at the royal gathering, waved to them, enjoyed watching from afar. At 9:30, I went to Triton's because this morning was a churros waffle day. Yeah, Disney cruise itineraries have two churros waffle days. And so I had breakfast with Pearl at Triton's, my first breakfast. Then afterwards, there was a Father's Day crafts activity that was happening right after, which I was going to do, but then I missed because Pearl and I went back to the room to pack. We just opted out of it. And we wanted to make sure that we made the diaper dash at 11:15. I'd never seen it. I finally saw it. I saw those babies chugging along. It was spectacular. I used that time after to like take a bunch of photos around the ship, have Pearl enjoy the portholes. On deck three, there's these little portholes that are cushioned that a lot of people would lounge and read, like literally laying in these little cocoons and these little nooks, reading a book, looking at the sea, like, oh, what a great relaxation opportunity. I sat with her in there. I took some photos. At 12:15, we went to a character dance party, which was sick. All the characters would kind of move from area to area. So you'd stay in one area and like all the characters would rotate around and then one would be on stage featured, being like the featured dancer. It was basically a bar mitzvah with Disney characters, a dream. I squeezed in 15 minutes of that before I went to brunch at Paolo, where I had an almond croissant that made me emotional because it was so good. I had that with a cappuccino. I had a little plate of meat and cheese. I had a pizza. It was heaven. Afterwards, I went back to the top deck and I watched the end of Encanto with Pearl. We wandered the halls to get our last look at all the fish extenders before people kind of put stuff away. This was the last day of the cruise. And then At 2:30, there was an open house at one of the kids' clubs, and we got to make space goo with Stitch. Stitch came out. We got to make like homemade kind of Play-Doh silly putty with Stitch. It was, my kid is obsessed with Lilo and Stitch right now, so this was unbelievable. After that, we went back to the room. Pearl took a nap. From 4 to 5, I had a meeting with the other media people that were on board. I also keep in mind, like during my meeting, I skipped a goofy meet and greet and lightsaber photos because I wanted to order this pretzel they have at the pub on board. And it takes like 30 to 40 minutes. They bake it fresh. I finally got my hands on it before we went to dinner at 5:45, where I ran upstairs for a Apollo martini. Came back, had a blast, wandered the boat. I ended up skipping the final show to pack. I took in the sunset from our cabin as Pearl watched Lilo and Stitch, and I shoved everything into bags, and I still didn't go to bed until about 12:30 a.m. And that was a chill at sea day. Remember, I love Disney Cruise Line. Like, I love Disney Cruise Line. And nothing freaked me out before this like an at-sea day. The idea of, like, being at sea on a cruise ship with nothing to do when you're on the water and you can't touch land, like, kind of makes my stomach turn a little. Like, it just feels a little slightly unnatural. You know what I mean? Like, I got nervous about it, and yet I had the time of my life. The day just flew. I kept looking at my watch, being like, how is the day almost over? There's so much more I want to do aboard. It really blew me away. And also keep in mind, that was my schedule with a toddler. With a toddler. If it was just me at 10 out of 10 energy, like I'm usually operating, like my colleague Carly, who was also there, she did the Anyone Can Cook panels. There was a magician. She went to one called, she told me about, I think it was called Who's Behind the Curtain? Have never heard of this one. Apparently, she went into a lounge. They said, "Who's behind the curtain?" And Disney characters kept popping out of the curtain. I would have lost my mind. I mean, there was so much live entertainment. There were so many activities, so many arts and crafts. It was endless, endless, endless. So no matter what you want to sail on or what itinerary you want to do, know that at sea days are not something to fear, and they are jam-packed with stuff. But as much as I loved this ship, and as much as I genuinely loved the time I spent aboard it on this sailing, if you do a Disney cruise to Alaska, you have to book excursions. And we will get into that and what all of that means for planning and possibly saving for this trip in a lot more detail right after this break. -100 degrees. That's how hot it was when I went to Orlando in May. Unseasonably warm. And I could not have gotten through that trip without a breathable wardrobe. If you're also panicking looking down the road of months of travel to theme parks and beyond as the weather creeps up towards the triple digits, look no further than Quince when it comes to what to wear. With loads of cotton dresses and tops and linen shorts and skirts, Quince is stocked with classic, timeless garments made with high-quality materials, so you can buy your summer wardrobe once and let it last for years. You know this. If you see me, I'm wearing Quince's bike shorts. Spoiler alert, I'm wearing them right now. I wear them almost every single day, and I think you should too. They're high quality, they're affordable, and they stay in place, which is exactly what you want from your clothes. You wear a big t-shirt, you wear sneakers, you can go anywhere, you can do anything. It's kind of my default uniform. But when I'm on a work trip or I need to look a little professional without melting in the sun, I'm stocking up on Quince's affordable linen clothing. No joke. I'm recording this as I'm actively deciding. I have the tabs open on my computer between the 100% European linen wide leg pants and this like really stunning bright blue, and then this 100% organic cotton poplin A-line maxi skirt, which is peak European vacation vibes. Trust me, look it up. You know what I'm talking about. Their whole site is just full of the kind of stuff you see on travel influencers, but everything with Quince is half the cost of similar brands and made with premium fabrics and finishes. And if you don't believe me, check out the reviews. I just saw a dress that was 5 stars across the board. My favorite delivery restaurant doesn't even have that. So give your summer closet an upgrade with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns, meaning you don't have to decide about your clothes until next summer. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. Welcome back. So like I said, as much as I love sailing with Disney Cruise Line, if you go on a Disney sailing to Alaska, you have to book excursions. If I could bold red underline that for you, you have to book excursions. Taking a Disney Cruise Line sailing to Alaska and only visiting the ports in town is like going to Disneyland and only seeing Main Street. You have to do at least two. Like, you gotta see a few lands. You gotta see what's out there. And I'm gonna tell you all about mine to hopefully help color in the experience of what that part of the vacation was like. We stopped in Skagway, Juneau, and Ketchikan in that order. And as you know, the Disney Magic is joining Alaska routes next summer, and they're a little different ship to ship. The Magic will be visiting Skagway, Icy Strait Point, and Ketchikan. So the main difference between the two itineraries is that one visits Juneau, one visits Icy Strait Point. I didn't go to Icy Strait Point, but the Wonder Sailing after mine did. So if you're curious why we don't discuss that here, that's why. We didn't go there. I didn't know about it until I came home and I saw other people posting from it. That's it. That's basically it. Both ships are mostly seven-day itineraries out of Vancouver and very similar. But personally, I prefer the Wonder to the Magic. I've been on the Wonder twice and the Magic once within the past within the past year. So I'm pretty familiar with both at this point. But honestly, Icy Strait Point might be the greatest destination on Earth. I saw someone post from there and it had like the longest zip line in the country, in the planet. I don't know, but I prefer the Wonder over the Magic. And if you're curious why, we are doing an episode next month comparing all about the ships. So if you're thinking about Alaska, you're ruminating about it in the future, but kind of trying to pinpoint which ship is right for you, stay tuned for that episode for way, way more on the topic. All three ports we stopped at, I gotta say, we're super convenient. Our ship was like two steps from that crab place that everyone talks about. We like plopped right into town when we stepped off. It was all right there, which was phenomenal. Also, a really good thing to know about if you are traveling with anyone who has any mobility concerns or children who have to nap, like you are right in town. You are so close and it is so convenient. But in my opinion, the ports themselves are not enough to make this trip worth doing. They're fine. They're completely fine. And I don't know if anyone else is going to tell you that. It's very like jewelry shop, souvenir shop, restaurant, kind of enough for like an hour to buy a t-shirt, a postcard, get a snack, but not much more than that. Now, I don't want to fully drag these ports. I had a great time. We did plenty of enjoyable things while we were in those towns. I also got suggestions from loads of people about what to do, which I am so grateful for. Thank you. I will be shouting out all those suggestions shortly. But if that was the whole trip, if my whole trip was just going to these towns and coming back on board, I would have come home significantly less excited about how I spent this time. And I mention it because I'm not always someone to book a bunch of port adventures. I kind of feel like I went on a cruise, I paid for the ice cream cone, I don't really know if I need sprinkles on top. But this one is all sprinkles. Like, you gotta get out there and see something for this Disney Cruise Line sailing to make the most impact. And it doesn't have to be something physically demanding by any means. It can be a wildlife boat ride or a tour, but just getting out there beyond the downtown area and seeing nature is something you will not regret. Because the real excitement with this itinerary comes from not doing these great adventures and not being aboard this phenomenal ship in a beautiful setting, but the two of those experiences butting up against each other. There was one evening where I did an unbelievably adventurous excursion. I walked back on the ship at nighttime, and there was Donald in the atrium wearing buffalo plaid, playing rock, paper, scissors with a bunch of kids. It almost melted my brain. I went from, all right, I'll spoil it. I ziplined. We're going to get into it in a sec. I went from standing atop a wood platform, sailing through the trees and over waterfalls in Alaska, to walking back on a Disney cruise ship, seeing characters, and then having a solo dinner at Paulo. And that's what I mean. The blissful experience of like seeing pure nature in a way I never anticipated, and then seeing like my favorite waiter remember me, and then the bartender be like, vodka martini coming right up. Like, those two together make Disney Cruise Line sailings through Alaska so worth it. It's not just one and it's not just the other. It's the two of them together. So let's talk about what I did. Our first port was in Skagway, which ended up being my favorite. My friend Ryan happened to randomly be on this sailing as well. He was on vacation, and he's done Alaska a few times and told me that Skagway would remind me of the Universal Studios Hollywood backlot tour, and he was right! The main downtown area felt like this little fake Western town. It was the quaintest, cutest version of the cities we stopped in, not to mention the tiniest. Like, it was so cute! And I don't want to incessantly compare Alaska to Colorado, but Skagway was fully the Leadville of Alaska, in my opinion. If you know, you know. A cutie little old school main strip with a sick coffee shop. My priorities. What can I say? We had a tight schedule since I did two excursions that day, so I began by walking around town and stumbled onto, a popcorn store. This tiny little town that felt like a theme park had a popcorn store where I promptly blew like $40 on popcorn I couldn't possibly finish during the rest of the cruise, but it was worth it. Like, I'd rather have that than two good lunches. It's more important to me. I got spicy cheese, caramel, and white cheddar. The white cheddar was like what smart food dreams are made of. I don't know if you've seen the Eater story about how smart food changed the recipe and it's now not as white cheddar-y. This was the peak white cheddar popcorn. It was so good. We visited this place called Klondike Doughboy for fry bread, a suggestion from people in my Instagram comments, thank you so much, which was served warm and dusted with sugar and just so delicious and a wonderful treat to enjoy even in the rain. Like, I had this much fun even on a day where I was wearing a raincoat and kind of getting soaked. We also swung by this coffee shop, Glacial Coffee House, recommended by a former Disney Cruise Line cast member. Thank you so much. I trust you to the ends of the earth. And this place also had really cool baristas, which is how you know a town is legit. Like, you can feel it out. If the baristas are chill and they seem like they have great taste in music and they're really fun, I will order food and I will spend all my money there and tip them well. I got a great latte. I also picked up a bagel sandwich with jalapeno cream cheese and a bunch of veggies for breakfast. And I got a burrito for lunch later, and it was perfect. And I will be making an inordinate amount of videos about this. But if you go on this sailing and you plan a lot of excursions, be sure to pack snacks and at-time meals. Be sure to pack food. More on that in a moment. I did two excursions in Skagway and began with the White Pass Scenic Railway excursion, which is one of the most popular ones. The train was, it was pretty incredible. The absolute variety of terrain and views you get aboard is and incomparable. Like, I couldn't have even imagined it. If you're planning a trip again with someone, if you have a multi-generation trip, you have someone who's a little older, you have anyone with mobility concerns, you're really going to get the most bang for your buck with this excursion because you sit on these little benches, you look out the windows, and you just take in the views. Unless you're a freak like me. And most people in my content creator, reporter car that our little media group was in, us, and the teenage boys in the neighboring car, we chose to stand outside in a little outdoor portion between the cars, which you're allowed to do, and it is spectacular. Like, you take it all in with your face, the wind, the weather. There's no glass window separating you from the views. You get to breathe in the outdoor air, and it's like cool and fresh mountain air without having to hike to the top. And I gotta say, that made for one of the most spectacular highlights of my trip. Like, I took 10,000 videos being pummeled by rain, and I never thought, like, being wet while looking at a train turn a banked corner and head through a tunnel would be something I would be so into. Maybe it was like the, I don't know, like the deep Mission Impossible old train joy of it all, but it was phenomenal. I loved that you could sit inside, be cozy, be warm, and just enjoy it, or be outdoors, which was wild and adventurous. Like, I was just hanging off the side of a train and they said it was okay. And I will so cherish the memories of just the vast and varied terrain and sights that we saw. I keep saying terrain, but it's like, how else do I describe? Like, there's like a frozen lake, and then there was like a lake, and then there was like snow, and then there were waterfalls. We just zoomed past waterfalls. It was wild. It was wild. But back to another sight to behold, that blissful bagel sandwich. A guide that I spoke to that morning earlier in the day saved my tush by telling me there is no food for sale aboard that train. And this was a 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. excursion where food is allowed, they just don't sell it. I somehow did not catch wind of this. I don't know if other people did, but because I literally went from one excursion to another, like, I got back on the ship, sprinted to my room, changed my clothes, and barely made it to the check-in. And at that one, food also wasn't sold. So I easily in Skagway could have gone from 12 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. without eating, which would have been bad. Would have been real bad for an emotional girly like me who needs to be fed every 90 minutes. So make sure to plan ahead, pack food for yourself, pack food for your children, pack food for your family who might forget and will get hangry. Just pack food for everyone you're with. Because if you were hungry, like, it would really ruin this train ride for you. And if you have to toss, you know, a coffee shop veggie burrito in your bag for later from Glacial Coffee House, pack a Ziploc, make sure it doesn't leak, and your future self will thank you. But back to the train. The fact that this picks you up literal steps from the cruise ship and takes you through mountains on an unforgettable journey is wild. It's just wild how convenient some of this stuff is. Like I said, a lot of Alaska reminded me of Colorado, and having spent so much time there, being able to see snow and waterfalls and foresty overlooks in one swoop without physically moving was the best way to soak up Alaska in one stop. Afterwards, I summoned all my bravery and got myself to actually do the Grizzly Falls Zipline Expedition, one of the many different zipline things that are offered on Alaska sailings. And I will be real with you, I was nervous. I was big nervous. I told myself, like, I can always chicken out. I can always sit in the parking lot. Like, there is an out. And I was prepared to use it. But I never needed it. We arrived to this stunning prairie-like view. Like, this port may have been the most beautiful one we saw. Before we boarded, what I believe they said were decommissioned military vehicles. Just these big, like, bouncy, silly, jeepy things. And then we headed up to a temperate rainforest. Yeah, a rainforest. Did you know Alaska had rainforests? I surely did not. And I didn't think I would see it from the sky, because this place had 11 zip lines, the longest of which was 750 feet. And I'm scared of everything. I'm a little scared of heights. I'm scared of just things breaking. I'm scared of all of it. And I felt so safe. I truly felt so safe. Everyone working here was basically like the cool kid in your high school who wore Patagonia and knew how to start a fire with a few leaves. Like, they were all that cool alt camping kid. All the cool Nalgene kids were running the show, essentially. And I felt so safe and so calm with them. I was really concerned about, like, oh, how do I like launch myself? How do I break? How do I get off? And they did all of that. You basically just stand there and you go, wee! And then you wait for the next time to be able to do it again. We zoomed over treetops and waterfalls and had views. It was hands down the very best thing I did on this entire cruise. It was something I just can't do anywhere else, a temperate rainforest. And I just kept remarking aloud that I couldn't believe a Disney vacation had brought me here, had brought me to a place that challenged and excited me. Oh my God, there's a detail I forgot to tell you. Oh my God, oh my God. Okay, so we finished all of these 11 zip lines. We ziplined for a while and we're like, yes, we are accomplished. We are great. Like, we did it. Someone comes over to help unclip us at the end because you get like fully unclipped at the end. And they're like, oh, I heard this was the Disney group. And we were like, yeah. And they were like, oh, I used to work at Disney. And so obviously, you know, you have a tell a bunch of reporters that, and we're like, oh my God, like, what do you mean? Where did you work? Did you work at Disney World? Were you in entertainment? And they said, yeah, I worked at that Star Wars hotel. Ah! This person working on the Alaskan zipline worked on Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. And I was like, wait, were you there for the media sailing? And they said, yes. And this person and I were in space together. And then we're in a rainforest in Alaska. It doesn't make any sense. Like, how? The smallest of worlds here at the zipline in Alaska. It ends up they worked kind of the front desk role, or whatever the equivalent was of that. And they were like, yeah, I work for Chandrila Starline. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, it was just flashback, flashback, flashback. And I can't believe this person and I were both like in in Star Cruiser for like 48 straight hours. And then now we're meeting each other again on a zipline. It was incredible. It was incredible. And then on the drive home, we saw a bald eagle. The bus driver pulled over and backed it up. And we all took photos. It was amazing. It was amazing. Our next port was Juneau. We had two excursions booked for us here by Disney. And this is really where the bulk of our group's adventurous stuff happened. My colleagues went on seaplane rides and helicopter rides that park on a glacier where you get off and you hike the glacier. It looked so freaking cool. I demanded that all the other reporters who did it, like Scott Gustin, show me all their photos because it seemed unbelievable. And sadly, I was too chicken to do either. As a family, we have a house rule that we do not do small aircraft, so it was a non-starter. There's no world in which I could have brought this up to Ben and he would have been okay with it. Like, between our household rule and my anxiety, it was just really not something I was going to embark on this trip with my child. I wish I could have, but I couldn't. And I won't lie, I really kind of feel like the people who did one of these two excursions got a little bit more out of the trip. And I'm not saying my experience was bad or worse by any means. Like, my adventurous peak was the zipline. That's the thing that I keep talking about. But I feel like for these people, they're like, I went to Alaska and I hiked a glacier. And that's kind of their adventurous excursion peak highlight. So if you are considering an Alaska cruise and you are open to going on a small plane or helicopter, I do think you will find it very worthwhile to go on. And it'll probably be the thing that you come home talking about the most. But regardless, I had a fantastic day without, you know, freaking out in a helicopter. We Took a bus to the Gold Creek Salmon Bake, which is an excursion, and it was unbelievably cute. Like, extreme summer camp vibes with s'mores and live music and so much food, if your summer camp also had the loveliest creek running through it. And while the experience was adorable, a salmon was weirdly only okay. I believe salmon season is staggered throughout the summer. It's like king, then sockeye, then coho later on. So I do wonder how this would differ depending on what was in season. Because when we were on the ziplining excursion in Skagway and we were coming back, we passed this stream and one of the other zipliner guides who like caught a ride with us said that salmon will just be leaping out of the river like a cartoon. Fish will just be burp, 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 leaping out of the river, which would have been so wild to see. Anyway, we didn't see that. The salmon was perfectly fine, but as a salmon freak, I remain curious and possibly interested in coming back specifically to try other salmon later on. However, I did have a fantastic salmon, and we will get into that shortly. But everything there was excellent. They had blueberry cake and fantastic mac and cheese. I went back for thirds, and au gratin potatoes and ribs and so much to eat. We all had our fill, and we casually walked towards this waterfall. Like, this place fully had campfires ready to go, marshmallows, s'mores, sticks, cake, ribs, food, salad, all this stuff. And then you just like walk around and putz around and there's a beautiful waterfall. Like, I'm a waterfall freak and Alaska provided. And afterwards, we all bopped on a bus and headed to a wildlife boat excursion in hopes of seeing whales. And we did. We saw two humpbacks just bopping in and out of the water. It was wild. And I'm so glad I went on this excursion because while a lot of other people saw loads of whales from the cruise ship, I never did. I don't know how I missed them. Maybe I like wasn't sitting on the deck staring out at the water because I was running around and doing activities because your girl loves an opportunity to do a Disney activity. So I'm so grateful I did this excursion and got that solid, dedicated whale watching time up close the moment we were on that ship. Like, it was so special and I would not have seen whales otherwise. I've never really seen whales like this. So I'm beyond thrilled that I did this. I, at the time, was like, I don't know if I need to do this excursion. I'm so glad I went on it. We also saw a bunch of sea lions. And on the drive to the boat, we saw these trees filled with bald eagles, like they were crows or something, just covered in bald eagles. And we even got a glimpse at a bear. So I crossed off the whole to-do list on that Wildlife Quest boat excursion. I got boom, 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 sea lions, whales, bald eagles, bears. It's everything I wanted to see. I saw it the whole day. It was fantastic. It was a really great excursion. The boat, like these boats that we go on are really nice. They have bathrooms. They're huge. They have an indoor and outdoor seating. So you can go outside and like take in the breeze and then go downstairs and warm up. It was just a really nice experience all around. We got back to the ship moments before all aboard, like literally 15 minutes before. So I waited in line and I snuck in a last minute treat of the famous Tracy's Crab Shack in Juneau. This is the place everyone talks about and they talk about it because it's touristy and it's good for both reasons. It is actually really good. I literally did not have time for crab. Like, I was walking into the security on the ship and they were like, come on, you're gonna miss it. Like, I walked in sucking down my little chowder as I got to the actual boat. And like, they were, once I got on and I put my bag through the scanner, they were raising the gangway thing. Like, yeah, I could have closed, but I had to suck down a crab chowder. It was delicious. I'm not going to miss out on an opportunity to taste Alaska. You know what I mean? And I think this is a really good time to mention that while I truly enjoyed our excursions, I think the only actual complaint I have about them is that they're all a little too long. Like, the time is always compressed in your memories. So if you ask anyone who doesn't professionally overthink all of this, they will just be like, yeah, it was fantastic. We saw animals, and they'll move on. But honestly, everything, the boat, the train, even the zipline was all about 30 minutes too long. Still, too much of a good thing is still a good thing. And that's really my only complaint. But it felt like worth mentioning to kind of frame what this experience was like. Our third and final port was Ketchikan. We had an excursion booked that day that I actually ended up canceling because I was in Skagway so quickly, I really didn't see much of Juneau that I wanted to spend a casual morning on the ship and then wandering town so I could see what one of these towns was really like and spend actual time there. We ended up eating at the Alaska Fish House, which I had low expectations for because that Alaska Fish House sounds like the most generic restaurant you've ever heard of. I mean, we're in a pretty kind of touristy town. The cruise ship is visible through the window of the restaurant. I default to being a snob about these things. But oh my gosh. This might have been the best meal I had the entire time. I didn't get the crab because I wasn't in a crab mood. I wasn't feeling crabby, but I heard it was exceptional. I was too busy being preoccupied by something I have never seen before, A triple fish and chip. A triple fish and chip. They had Pacific cod, local silver salmon, and local halibut as fish and chip options, but you could also get an Alaska sampler, which was one piece of each with mesquite fries. These like spice dusted, perfectly crispy fries. I was losing my mind. I took a video. I will post it. But having like salmon fish and chips, didn't know that was possible. Didn't know you were allowed to do that even. And they weren't battered. It was just kind of like crispy and fried. The salmon, it was the best salmon I think I've ever had in my life. It was unreal. And having Mickey waffles for breakfast and this for lunch, I was in heaven. I was in heaven. What a beautiful meal. We puttered around town. Again, town didn't love it. And then that afternoon, we attended our final excursion of the trip, the exclusive Great Alaskan Lumberjack Show. Now, the Great Alaskan Lumberjack Show is kind of like the cottage industry of Ketchikan. It's the most popular thing people tend to do on cruises. It's walking distance. It's family friendly. It's fun. It's a little atypical from like what you'll do at home, but it does veer quite touristy. But here's the difference. And yes, of course, it goes back to Disney. There was a private afternoon showing of it exclusively available to guests on Disney Cruise Line to be able to book, which means this began with Goofy in his lumberjack outfit, a white whale of a costume for me to see. And I didn't want to be a bummer on the podcast. I was supposed to see him on the ship in his outfit. I planned it out. I scheduled it out. I goofed on the time. There were two little showings. He was in his lumberjack costume on the ship at 9 and I think later at 10 p.m. And I thought, because it was the same day, he would be wearing his costume at night. At 10 p.m. He was not wearing it. It was only 9. And I was at, we had like a special Minnie Mouse event like with media, and I didn't get a photo with it. But I got to see him in person. There's like a moment where kids come up and they do like a warm-up thing with Goofy. And because my child was too young to be alone, I got to go up there with her. So I got to be closer to Goofy than any adults. And it was great. I didn't get to hug him, but it's okay. There's always a reason to go back to Alaska, and that is partially mine. Anyway, we're talking Disney, we're talking the show. And so usually I'd be like, lumberjack show, a little touristy, I don't know. But because ours was filled with Disney people, people who are like excited to be excited, who love to cheer and clap and applaud each other, who just kind of form a community wherever they are and are generally great audience members, I feel like the energy had to have been way higher here than on any other visit. I have to believe it. So seeing the show with the Disney angle, I do think is the way to do it. Now, we did a handful of excursions, and I don't want to endorse them flippantly because, like I said earlier, you need to do excursions on this cruise to get the most out of it. But this trip, I get it. Just the base cost of boarding the ship is something often saved for a big bucket list style vacation because people often want a room with a balcony, with a view, which I get. So I want to say it plainly. I do think this is a very, very, very memorable, very special vacation worth going on. But I want to advise you to price out your excursions and add them into your initial cost while planning. I think if I had just gone on this without doing truly extensive research, I would have been like, my focus is the cruise. I'll just book one of these excursions here or there. But these adventures only help emphasize how great the actual cruising here is. So here's what I recommend if you are serious about this. First of all, reach out to Mouseman Travel. Always. They will help you. And especially for cruises, they will help you plan to a level that you would not even be able to do on your own. I say that as someone who covers Disney Cruise Line professionally. I could not plan a trip without them. Second of all, look at all of the excursions offered in the ports before you plan anything. I recommend just looking through, ignoring all the prices. Don't even look at the prices. We will deal with prices later. Look through all of them. Look up YouTube videos. See what you can find. Look up reviews and figure out what your top two or three favorites are. Then take a look at the pricing and try to figure out what I would call the biggest impact excursions, the ones that you really, really feel like would make this trip special, and factor those. Look at the pricing and factor the pricing of those into your budget from the start. You don't want to plan for this trip, you know, book the room, and then later on be like, oh, you know what? The helicopter excursion doesn't work for us budget-wise, so let's pick something we want to do less. Because in reality, if that would really make this trip as special as possible, you want to know that from the beginning. I really, really, really believe choosing like the two most impactful excursions over maybe four others that are a lower cost would really be the right way to do this. Because I had so much fun at the Salmon Bake and the Lumberjack Show was awesome. But the thing I keep finding myself saying is, I went to Alaska with Disney and I saw a glacier and I rode a zipline through a temperate rainforest. And seeing whales on a small boat was sick. I mean, I've never done that before. And being able to finally see Goofy in that lumberjack outfit is something I've wanted to do for years. You have no idea. But at the end of the day, it's kind of the most far-flung, incomprehensibly exciting activity I did that resonates most with me. And I would factor that into your planning from the jump if you are thinking about doing this. But also, we gotta talk about Glacier Day. Glacier Day, Glacier Day! I did not understand Glacier Day until I did it, and now I cannot stop thinking about it. Now, as a sidebar, if you follow me online, you know my day was a bit tarnished by passport-related reasons, which we will not be discussing here. They've been buried very deep down in a future trauma well to unpack, but there is so much that I wish I would have known about Glacier Day before I went. Now, this is a true at-sea day, even though it's not titled that way, and it is special. It is the best view you will have of the entire cruise from the ship, in my opinion. And there is one major sight to see. A real frickin' glacier. There is an excursion you can do where you board a smaller boat directly from the Disney cruise ship to get closer to the terrain. That's what we did. But it is a crapshoot on if it is worth it or not. I will be real with you. Never has there been something more unpredictable in the history of Disney vacations, on par with when you needed a boarding pass to simply enter Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So let me break it down for you, because here's what I didn't know. Your path, the literal path the ship takes on Glacier Day, is unpredictable until you are there. From my understanding, I think I have this right. I think so. I'm pretty sure this is correct. From my understanding, you either sail the Tracy Arm to see the North Sayer Glacier or the Endicott Arm to see the Dawes Glacier. And again, from my understanding, one of these is better for viewing the glacier from the cruise ship than the other. And you won't know if you'll be happy with the ship view or wish you had the boat view until you're there and you've booked it or not. So it really is a roll of the dice here, people. Will the ship be enough of a view for you? Will you have FOMO? Or will you stay back and enjoy the most pleasant day of your life aboard the boat? Or will you stand there and wish you had booked the excursion? It is a tough call. The Glacier Explorer boat is about 3 hours long, and it is kind of costly. It's $349 per person, ages 10 and up. And $249 for anyone basically alive, so like a baby through nine. Meaning that for a couple with an infant, you're going to be spending about $1,000 to get on this Glacier Explorer boat. And that's real money. That's like big activity excursion money. And this is why I'm telling you to factor in the excursions from the jump. Now, I am compromised. I will own it because I went on the boat. I went on the boat. I loved the view of the glacier. I had a great time. I can't imagine not being that close. But again, take into consideration, like taking your natural draw towards FOMO into consideration in this. Look at videos online and decide what you think is best for you. Because even though I was on the boat, I saw the glacier, I still had a little bit of FOMO. Because Glacier Day aboard the Disney Wonder was sick. On this day, all the main Disney characters, like Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Pluto, everybody, they're all wearing special outfits, and they are on the top deck meeting and greeting outside. That doesn't happen like this. It was really in that moment I crossed over from like a casual fan of meet and greets. Okay, I've always been obsessed with them. Just let me have this. I'm underselling it. But I really moved from like someone who's into it to someone who emotionally requires seeing these characters in rare outfits. I still need to apologize to my very sweet PR person for texting him at like 11 o'clock at night being like, but when does Mickey come out? Because the set time said 10 minutes. And I fully thought I wouldn't see him in his cutie little outfit unless I was there from like 9 to 9:10 a.m. Because character schedules on Glacier Day do not play by the same rules. They are unlike anything you have ever experienced on a Disney property. They do wear their special little outfits at times throughout the cruise, but it's not the same, guys. It's not the same. Something about them being on the upper deck in fresh air with that picturesque background. The background is so beautiful. It's so special. It's really special, and it can only happen here. Like, you made it all this way, and this is the reward. Even if you're not really into characters, it's such a culmination of how unique this sailing is that you have to participate in it. They've got killer costumes on all the sailings, especially overseas itineraries. Like, did you see the one I posted of Goofy's outfit from Spain? Wild. But here, being on the deck outside with them, it's just heightened magic, which is what a lot of this Alaska sailing is. But back to logistics. On Glacier Day, the characters basically just hang out forever on the top deck. They rotate from side to side, and that 10-minute Mickey Mouse set, It lasted for over an hour. I got in line at around 8:45, 8:50 a.m., and I didn't meet Mickey until 10 a.m., but they kept the line open. At a certain point, other characters come in and out, and they switch later on in the day, and they try to make this as easy as possible, which I appreciate. The cast members were there and helpful and wonderful. The photographers were great. Someone came out with, like, a hot cocoa cart that you can pour booze in and buy a mug of? Like, that was wild. I did almost miss breakfast while I was in line, so I do want to warn you, wake up early on Glacier Day. That is what I should have done, and I regret not doing exactly that. But here's where the Glacier Boat Excursion can goof ya. On our sailing, there were midday ones, and there was an adult-only later afternoon ones. We did the midday one because I was with Pearl, and also our dinner was early at 5:45. Our ship was gone about 12 p.m. to 3:15 p.m., which means we missed the majority of character meets in that late afternoon. So if meeting characters and meeting multiple is a priority for you and you don't want to stress, you might want to deprioritize the excursion or try to go on the adult-only sailing later in the day. But then again, I can't decide. As much as I would have loved to see every character, I got to go on a boat and see a waterfall up close, and I had a Shirley Temple made with glacier ice. So to each their own. Again, I can't choose for you. Shirley Temple with glacier ice, Goofy in a costume. Like, and it's not the lumberjack costume. It's a different one. He's wearing, like, mountaineering clothes. It's all white. Anyway, like, I can't choose for you. Make a pro-con list, like Rory Gilmore. Honestly, it's the only way through. Also, there's trail waffles on Glacier Day. There's views for days. There's characters abounding. No matter what you do, it's just the inherent magic of sailing with Cruise Line all in one day. Now, I've gotten so many questions about Alaska with DCL, so I'm going to basically try to cover all of the answers, all the advice that I would want to tell a friend if they were to go on this, which is basically what this podcast is. So you are going to Alaska, and the weather can be on the colder side, so it renders the ship a bit different than what it's used to. In March, when I went on the same ship, we spent the entire time watching movies on funnel vision and sitting by the pool. On this trip, we only did that once because it was generally cold up there. And if we were moving, it was cold. The at-sea day at first was the coldest day we had, and I was shivering. There are a pile of blankets near where the towels are just to, like, paint a picture of the Alaska of it all. But did it stop me from ever eating soft serve? No, it did not. It's not that cold. The pool and top deck are not utilized in the same way they typically are on standard Disney Cruise Line sailings, which I do think makes the ship have a little bit less to do, but I really wasn't impacted by it at all. There were so many activities, so many kids didn't care about it at all and were swimming anyway because kids be kids. But even with the pools being heated, like when we were moving on at sea days, it was too cold for me to even entertain the idea of going in the pool. Also, strangely, there being less people on that deck didn't make the ship feel any busier, which I'm not sure how they pulled that off, but that's some good planning. The weather in Alaska can be quite unpredictable. Like I said, I was freezing on our at sea day. Glacier day, I was super cold on the outside deck too. Our first port was cold and rainy, and then we had beautiful sunny weather on our second and third port. Kind of like bizarrely lucky, actually. It was remarkably beautiful. But anything can happen, anything. So if the idea of possibly doing an adventurous outdoor excursion in not so nice weather is a trip ruiner for you, definitely take that into consideration because you more than likely will experience rain. I also want to emphasize, you can never undersell the comfort of being with Disney when traveling somewhere new. And I'm even saying that as a travel writer. It just really, really feels good to let go of the mental load that you have when traveling and just let Disney make your life easy. They are synonymous with service and safety and convenience for a reason. But I kind of got swept up in the Disney of it all and forgot that, of course, the excursions are not that. Like, the Glacier excursion explicitly requires you to not bring any food or packaged snacks on board because they sell stuff on board. But I stupidly followed the rule forgetting my toddler would be an exemption, and all she ate for like 3.5 hours were goldfish crackers instead of lunch. It was not great, and it really was not a Disney experience. And I don't say that to gripe. I actually say that to praise Disney, because it just shows how the moment you step outside the Disney bubble, it is very different than when you are in a Disney space. There were some small complaints I had about the trip, which I do want to emphasize because I don't want this to be just a full hour of me going, yay, Alaska, yay. Like, I'm a critic and I'm going to give it to you straight. Some of the port times that we had felt really limited. Like a late arrival here, an early departure there. I feel like they were just really shorter than I expected. And honestly, this is my main thing, and I hope somebody at Cruise Line hears this. Cabana's, the buffet restaurant, not being open at night is a problem on these sailings. They really should open it up even just the days that we're in port. Because if you're out doing an adventure, an excursion, or just exploring town and you have early dinner, it can be pretty easy to miss that 5:45 meal or even be too late to attend. And the non-restaurant options are grim. Like I said, there are three restaurants you can rotate between, but you have an assigned seating time. And if your assigned seating is 5:45, you can't just show up at 7:30 and hope to dine. Many times, multiple times when I tried to dine there, there's three poolside eating areas. Two of the three were closed. Pinocchio's, which serves pizza, and Daisy's, which has like quinoa bowls and healthier food. They were closed at 6 p.m. So if I needed dinner for myself or my child, your options were Pete's, which has hamburgers, hot dogs, french fries, which my two-year-old can't take down a hot dog. Like, she's not really eating that. Or room service, which also had a very extremely limited menu for children. Just due to the nature of this cruise and this not being casual beach days, but more like lengthy scheduled itineraries of expeditions you go on, I really think they need to open up a buffet restaurant during both dinner times when the ship is in port, just for kids and for families and to make everyone's life a little easier. Something I did not expect from this cruise, though, and this is a positive, this is a good one, was how much the Alaska itinerary would be like wrapped up into the entirety of the cruise. I just thought it was a destination. I did not realize there was so much Alaska-specific merchandise, more than I ever would have thought, including the cutest plush dolls of Mickey and Minnie in their special little outfits. Oh my God, they're so cute. I haven't even put them in Pearl's room because they're in the kitchen so we can look at them all day because I love them. They also have like special Alaska dishes on the menus throughout the trip. The food on the sailing was incredible. Like, I loved almost every single thing I ordered, which hasn't always happened. I was so impressed. But the best food I ate was actually from the special frozen menu. Now, there's no pirate night on this cruise, but instead a frozen deck party. And while I didn't personally love the deck party, I also don't love a pirate night either. Don't come for me. I mean, come for me. I don't care. The fireworks are cool. The pirate show, I don't love it. I don't like dressing like a pirate. The frozen show was fine. It's frozen, whatever. But the menu that came along with us for dinner was excellent. I had the Duke of Wesselton's favorites, which was like a meat and cheese plate, which was phenomenal. I ordered this, I don't know how to say it, Aleson smoked trout salad, a smoked trout salad with carrots, parsnips, beetroot, and a walnut vinaigrette. This was so good, I ordered another one before dessert. We put in our dessert order and I was like, can I get a small version of this salad again? Because it is exceptional. The trout on it, so good. It reminded me of like the whitefish salad that I love from Russ and Daughters. Excellent. Excellent. And the desserts, this is the best dessert night. We had the Ogen warm apple pudding cake with butterscotch cinnamon sauce and vanilla ice cream. This Norwegian pancake rolled with lingonberry cream cheese. There was a white chocolate dome with like a Norwegian cardamom cookie on the inside. I'm telling you, the desserts that night, do not skip them. I really think that was one of my favorite meals of the entire trip. It was just really good. I mean, just being there was so exciting. Like the promise of seeing animals from peering off the top deck and seeing forests. And I even had the rare sight of mint soft serve on the last night, which was a thrill. I thought I'd have every flavor at ice cream and I just haven't. But if you are planning this trip, do keep in mind, cell service and internet aboard is not the same as it is on Disney Cruise Line sailings elsewhere. This is not going to be a mom's going to work remotely for a day kind of vacation. When we were in Skagway, there were four ships in port, which I think is the most they can have. And our guide joked that it jams all the cell reception, and it fully did. I was able to be on social media. I really struggled to upload a video that day. But as you know, like if you follow me, you know, I spent an hour just trying to upload my podcast before I had to call my husband and have him log in to the back end of Very Amusing. Like truly, he entered Very Amusing HQ and he had to upload the podcast from home. So just make sure if this is a pure vacation vibe, you're totally fine. But if you are trying to do a little work, because I know it's a week-long itinerary, people have on-demand jobs, etc., just know that if you have to do bigger things like texts, calls, that should be fine. But if you have to do anything with files, keep that in mind. Speaking of, this isn't speaking of that, but one other thing I want to mention, pack everything. I am brave enough to admit this far in the episode that I packed 100 pounds of luggage. I know, I packed two 50-pound bags and I blame it on Pearl. A blame it on Pearl, her diapers, her snacks, her things, but also the weather. Like, you have to prepare. It can swing back and forth and even sideways. Like, one day I wore a tank top and jeans. Another day I wore literally 5 shirts and sweaters layered underneath my coat so I stayed warm. It is all over the place. And I stand behind it because you know what? We wore almost everything. If you dress more utilitarian and can be like, I got my tees, I got my weatherproof pants, I got my coat, I'm good to go. First of all, I'm jealous. That's a nice life. And second of all, you do not need my packing advice. But if you like options and you like color and you want like a cute little polo outfit and you want like a cute little outfit if it's warm or if it's cold or like specifically for Glacier Day, just lean into the fact that you will be packing more than you anticipated. But on the day or two that you're quite cold, you will be grateful. And also, the reason you should do this is because if you get rained out one day, everything you had will be a little damp and icky, and you might not have time to do laundry between port days. So you will want fresh stuff to wear. And I say that as someone who did laundry. I still did it. So if you want it, bring it. Bring it. You're going to Alaska. You're taking photos. Don't let anybody tell you no. And I say that as someone who dragged a truly humiliating amount of luggage through the Vancouver airport. And I stand behind it. Listen, they have free little luggage racks. Use them to your advantage. I even packed hooks, and I checked with my friend Brooke McDonald before, being like, do I need hooks? We have coats. We have big stuff. Am I going to need this? And she's like, everything fit in our room and we didn't need it. And she was right. The room somehow fits everything. It's kind of exceptional, even with our coats and jackets and all of the things we brought. I do just want to call out a few things to make sure you pack them if you end up going. That includes a waterproof rain shell or a top layer. I was going to do a poncho. I'm so glad I packed a real raincoat. Just make sure it can fit over your winter coat as well. You're going to want all-purpose weather shoes, not sneakies. You're going to want weatherproof shoes. I have a pair of boots that works in both rain and snow. I wore them doing every port activity and they never let me down. A lot of people wear hiking boots. Just make sure you have something that's sturdy and will keep you warm and dry. I packed a ton of hand warmers. I didn't need them for all the days, but I ended up like putting them in my pockets and my inside fleece on the coldest day, and they came in really handy. Probably as handy as those like whiskey-filled coffees that they were selling on the top deck, but less expensive and more portable. Also, don't forget to pack a bathing suit. Even if you don't plan on swimming, like rainforest room, sauna, stuff like that, it's just a good idea to have. And I completely forgot and almost forgot mine because I was just thinking about winter coats and socks and shoes. Binoculars, if you really want to hold them up and look out, I wear glasses. Binoculars are tricky, so up to you. But if you have a pair at home that's good, definitely bring it. And pack comfy ship shoes. At the last second, I tossed Birkenstocks in, and I wound up wearing them every day on the cruise. Because remember, when you're inside the ship, it's going to be the same temperature inside the ship as it would be when you like sail to Castaway Key. So you're going to want those kind of comfy, maybe like you can wear in like 65, 68 degrees type of indoor clothes too. And having a pair of shoes you can slip on and go with is essential. And last but not least, and this could be an entire podcast and I'm going to try not to make it long. The biggest, most important question I've gotten is this a good trip to do with young kids? Can I do this with young kids or do I have to wait? And my answer is that you're kind of totally fine to do it now. Now, it really depends on the dynamic that you are traveling with. If you are traveling with maybe your spouse, one other adult, and one small child, and you both really want to do excursions that have age limits, and you both really want to do stuff, and you don't want to feel like you want to sacrifice anything, then this might not be the best trip for you. But I do think the best way to pull off an Alaska cruise with a young kid is a multi-generational trip. I'm talking like 5 to 7 people, you got a group, you got multiple rooms, and you all go together. And here is why. First of all, you can try to make the in-laws pay for it. Yeah, that would be tight if they were paying for the cruise. I'm just gonna say, if you go on a big trip, try to get them on the hook for it. Second of all, having people with different like ability levels and generations, if they can watch the kid for a few hours here and there, that would work really well. So then if you wanted to maybe zip line, you could have your kid or your kids be with possibly your spouse, your partner, whomever, and also with other adults to watch them so you can split up and divide and conquer so long as everyone is cool with that. Now, my plan was that Pearl was going to spend a lot of time in the nursery on this trip, and she just decided she didn't want to, which made things a bit complicated. However, that led to me doing a lot more with Pearl than I anticipated it, and it was actually totally fine. I mean, the excursions were during her nap time. It was fine one day. One day it was not as fine. But we just went to the back area of the Wilderness Explorer ship. I'm fully switching into like up mode. We went to the back of the wildlife exploration boat. We kind of calmed her down. Like, she ended up sleeping on the boat. She ended up sleeping on the train. It totally worked out. But I do think there is a world where, you know, I was doing this for work. If you're on vacation and you're paying for it, you'd be like, some of the excursions charge for, like, the glacier boat, they charge for kids under two. And so it would be like, I spent $250 for my child to nap on my lap. I think that would maybe stick in the way. I could go back and forth on it, but here's what it's going to come down to. It's a really convenient itinerary to bring a kid on. The port in Vancouver is next to a bunch of hotels. We walked across the street to the terminal. Do you know how rad that is? To be like 7 minutes from some incredible coffee shops and then just boop, right over to the cruise. We stayed in the Fairmont Waterfront, by the way, and that hotel was nice, dude. I am picky with hotels, and this hotel rocked. Also, like, the cruise ports, like I mentioned, you are steps into town. So even if one of you is doing an excursion, one adult is, one isn't, like the way you break it down, even if you don't have anything planned in one of the ports, you can walk right off the ship and be with a kid in town. And if it's nap time and they got to go, you are back in your room truly in 5 minutes. But the thing it all comes down to for me is that I went on this cruise with Pearl and I was like, okay, I got a lot of thoughts. I'm going to do a whole podcast segment about if I should bring Pearl, if I would have brought Pearl, like what, hemming and hawing. And then we got back on a Monday. On Friday, I went to Disneyland with Pearl and I was at Disneyland with Pearl and I said out loud to myself, oh, a cruise is so much easier than this. The cruise was so much easier with a young child than a theme park was. I went to both of them in the same week. And I do this a lot, I would know. And them being contained on a cruise ship where everything is exciting to look at, running down the halls is exciting, everything is carpeting, everything is safe. You are in a Disney bubble. Everyone is cool with a kid being there. People were so kind to her. Like, we would go up and down the stairs and she takes a little more time because she doesn't want to be carried on the stairs. She wants to walk. And everyone was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, don't apologize, it's us. Like, that happened maybe five times every time I walked up and down the stairs. Everyone was kind and accommodating and so sweet and warm and, like, loving to her. It was just a perfect environment to have a kid be in on a vacation. And I am literally saying that flying to Canada and going on a boat for 7 days was easier with a toddler than going to Disneyland for one day. But I stand behind it. Disneyland, she starts running off and it's like, oh my God, no, 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 no. On a cruise, she runs down the hall. It's like, okay, girl, stop when you see your face on the door. It's our room. Like, it's just so much easier. We have the same wait staff every night. Like, on a 7-night cruise, there's just that consistency, which really helps with her routines. She got to play with other kids and recognized kids by the end. It was really, really great to have her there, and I'm so glad I did it. It is stressful sometimes to have Pearl and be working. I won't get into that, but I really think this is an okay trip to bring a young kid on. I really, really do. And you know, traveling with a young kid is its own, I don't want to say can of worms, because it is glorious. Like, there are extreme highs and sometimes low lows, but every Disney World trip, I mean, to echo that, I say high highs and low lows. And there really weren't that many low lows from this. There aren't as many low lows on a cruise with a 2-year-old. I just think it's great, and I would bring her back in a heartbeat. If you have any questions about cruising with Alaska, anything else, give me a call on the Churros hotline. I'm happy to answer them. It is like a very specific sailing, and I do feel like what you hear about it is a little different from what it's really like to be there. I'm trying to bridge that gap in this episode. And so if you have any questions about pricing, what room you should book, traveling with kids, traveling with older people, anything, let me know. And speaking of rooms, we had a balcony. I loved it. I loved having like the door open a bit. I would look out while Pearl was watching TV. It was lovely. But if I was not, like, I'm in the room a lot when I'm on a cruise with a young kid because they're napping. Like, it's just, it's helpful to have, like, reset them at the room. If I was with adults, if I was with older kids, I do think I'd be okay in an interior room. And I think that while the views here are the most beautiful views you'll ever see, obviously, if you are trying to price this out and make it happen, I do think there is a path of doing an interior room, saving a little money, not splurging on the balcony, and using that money to book a ton of excursions. And I do think you will have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. Again, Mouse Fan Travel, friend of the pod, they will help you out. They will help you with this advice because they know cruises in and out, to the point where I booked the same ship from San Diego and was like, what room should I be in? And they're like, oh, just so you know, this cruise is usually a little rockier, so you should book this exact room and your husband will like this better than if you book the room you were looking at. And for that, I will praise them forever. So reach out to them, reach out to me. We are here for you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I had the time of my life. I love Disney Cruise Line and I can't wait for the bright future ahead for DCL. I can't wait. Cruising is so fun. It's just so fun. save money on your next Disney trip and honestly not stress as much as we usually do planning it, listen up, because this week I am telling you about how to book the best Disney vacation possible with Mouse Fan Travel. Becky is currently traveling. I didn't want to bother her in the middle of a foreign country to let you know about discounts, so I am here to tell you all about it. Because there are so many deals out there right now that it's almost impossible to figure out the best one on your own. And if you don't believe me, let me tell you a sentence I never thought I would hear in 2025. I just booked Disney's Yacht Club for under $400 a night. In summer. And the reason I love working with Mouse Fan Travel is because they are going to help you plan your trip, find the best rate, and the best place to stay at Disneyland and Disney World and Epic Universe and even on Disney Cruise Line and Adventures by Disney and beyond. So I want to give you a quick rundown of everything that is going on. Honestly, it's not even everything. I had to cut out the Alani stuff. There's just too much. At Disney World this summer, we got 30% off rooms for Florida residents, half off kids tickets, a special 3-day ticket for $267. Oh my gosh. 30% off longer stays, 40% off for pass holders, discounts for people who subscribe to Disney Plus. And it's like, yeah, I know it's summer, but it's hot everywhere. It's hot everywhere. And they have better pools than we do at home. You know, like, why not just be hot there? Later on in fall at Disney World, we've got 30% off longer stays, 35% off for pass holders, and they have free dining for kids in 2025. At Disneyland, there's 20% off summer stays, discounted 3 and 4 day tickets, the 4 day ticket bringing each day as low as $100. Shocking. Honestly, I can't believe that's not just a SoCal ticket. It's always a SoCal ticket. It's open to everyone. There's magic key discounts on rooms. At Disney Cruise Line, they've now lowered the deposit so you can secure your trip without spending as much as you had to. And if this sounds like a lot to parse through, I can barely get it out. It is. And there is a professional parser thrower who will do it all for you for free. I mean, these discounts are pandemonium, but Mouse Fan Travel's wonderful, genius, brilliant travel agents can help you make sense of all of this. Because they're not just gonna like look up on the website and send you some numbers. They will actually dive into your trip and figure out the best combo of dates and rooms and plans and find you the very best option for the very best price. It's magic, truly. I've seen it happen on my own trips when I'm planning them, and it's amazing. Best of all, it's completely free. It is free. Everyone's out here talking like AI this, AI that. I don't need an AI assistant. What I need is a Disney pro to understand what I am saying when I'm like, well, if I do a split stay with this reservation where half of it I use the AP discount, but at this one I found this other rate with the Disney Plus discount, what is the cheapest version of combining dates over a 7-day spread? They know what that means! And I am so grateful to them because Disney people know Disney in and out, and Mouse Fan Travel will make sure you have the best vacation possible at the best price. So reach out to Mouse Fan Travel, mousefantravel.com/amusing. Have them help you plan your trip. Tell them I sent you. They are a supporter of the podcast. They are a friend of mine, and I adore them. And y'all, I'll be seeing you at Yacht Club. $400 a night? Come on.
Hi, Carly. My name is Stephanie. I'm actually calling from the line in Epic Universe. I'm at the in the line of the Cirque de Arcanou. And after you recommended it so glowingly, I was like, oh, I gotta see this. I gotta do this. While everybody else is on a roller coaster. But I wanted to let you know that I approached several team members or wizard people in the land asking, hey, is there's a worm around here. I heard there's a magical worm that someone I know mentioned, this worm. I want to see this hidden worm. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I don't know. But eventually we figured it out. a moon calf, apparently. Unless they were just nearly stumped and you know of a hidden worm that they don't. So please let me know if that was the worm that you were speaking of in last week's episode. Definitely curious to know, and I'm very excited to see the circus show. P.S. J.K. Rowling is trash. I agree. All right, bye!
Okay, I have to tell you. So I was preparing for this episode, like the night before I record, I just make sure I have all the files away. And I'm like, this call looks interesting. I'm going to listen to this before I sort out what the episode's going to be. And I played this call and I was howling laughing. I could not stop laughing. First of all, the biggest gold star to ever exist for someone who listens to this podcast to call me while in line at Cirque Arcanoo, like while in line at a theme park circus to be like, you know what this place reminds me of? That girl that yells at me through my phone and in my car speaker. Like I've never felt more proud, more seen, and more appreciative of the people who listen to this podcast. Second of all, oh my God, I cannot believe, I'm so sorry that you got like Wizarding World window gaslit because I didn't know what a moon calf was. I truly, like, when you look, when you see this thing, you kind of, from what I remember, I was in like, I was in a wild state. I did not expect to see this figure there. I looked through a window and was like, oh my God, these eyes are looking back at me. The moon calf, if you look at them top down, like if I say moon calf, picture like a goat where like the head and the neck and the body is kind of worm-like, because that's kind of what it is. If you look top down, I was like, this is a worm. It got these big old eyes, shaped like a worm. It look, the body of this thing is kind of like the tunnel that children crawl through in music class. You know what I mean? Like I just thought of it as a worm and I feel so bad. I feel so bad that I didn't know. That I didn't know, and you were walking around being like, where's that worm at? Oh my God, I'm so sorry, but if anything, this call is appreciated because now anybody else who goes to Wizarding World is never going to forget about seeing that worm. You guys got to see the worm. The worm, like, it's just so indicative of what makes Epic Universe special. And it is that they spent the money. They spent the money and they put in so much art and detail and beautiful things that would have gotten cut otherwise. I cannot believe you just walk up to a window and it's like, and this thing's just sitting there looking back at you. Never would have thought it would be there. Thought it was just a facade. Absolutely stunning, absolutely shocking. So thank you for your call. I'm so sorry. And I hope you loved Cirque Arcanoo. I don't know which ride you had to skip, but hopefully it was worth it. Again, like I had a great time on a lot of the rides, as you know from that episode. I didn't love all of them. I did not love all of them. I loved a lot of them, but the circus really was like one of the best memories I had. The shows there are really, really great. And I cannot wait to go back to Epic Universe. And this is a little bit of a spoiler alert for the future of Very Amusing, but I am currently planning a trip to bring my mom there. And my mom does not do thrill rides. So I'm really excited to see what she thinks of the shows and the atmosphere and the worm. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for your call. And I hope you had a great time at Epic Universe. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this very Alaska-filled episode of Very Amusing. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can comment on Spotify. Also, like, I never recommend this and I feel like we have to. If you have a friend who you think would like the podcast, feel free to send it to them. I'm now realizing the longer and longer I do this that I'm only exposed to new podcasts mostly by one, them popping up in my feed, or two, one of my friends telling me about them. It's part of the reason why I'm like, I gotta get on these video clips online, because that's how a lot of people consume podcasts now. Is like, I'll be introduced to stuff from my friends posting it on their feed or them talking to me about it in real life. That's what influences me to actually listen to a new podcast. So if you have a friend who you think would love what we're doing here at Very Amusing, feel free to pass this along. I mean, I'm just sitting here in my house yelling, trying to make sure people have the best trips possible. So anything I can do to help someone, whether they're traveling with children, with friends, by themselves, anything, cruise line, theme parks, anything, I just want to help and I'm here. And I appreciate it. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS with any question you got. I love answering questions about worms. But truly, give me a call. I love to deep dive on stuff. If you are planning a Disney trip, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Parks, Epic Universe, that's not a Disney trip, that's a theme park trip, that's what I meant to say, theme parks, not Disney, Adventures by Disney, like truly, truly, truly any vacation, please reach out to Mouseman Travel. MEI Travel is the parent company, Mouseman Travel is the Disney specialty company. For any of your vacation planning needs, again, when I plan a trip, I use them. Travel agents in the theme park and like themed vacation space are so essential. They cost you nothing. They do all the work for you. And they're someone that you can get advice from instead of spending hours on YouTube being like, I can't find this thing. I need to get this question answered. Like, they will help you for free. And they will help you plan your trip. And like any time you don't have to spend on these websites, I think is a gift. Also, the way that you navigate pricing on vacations is so challenging, especially for Disneyland and Disney World. I was the other day trying to price out a trip, a last minute trip the week of July 4th, and I couldn't really get the price comparisons between like a stretch of 3 days over the course of a week. My travel agent at Mouse Fan Travel, he got that done so quick. He sent it to me and I was actually able to figure out what the benefits were. I was like, does this one? I was comparing prices to try to find like a cheap Monday to Wednesday window where there was maybe, I was trying to compare like if I went with my parents and Pearl, like if I could compare a club level or this or that, and what would the pricing be? And like, listen, my dude got it done. So Mouse Fan Travel will help you with all of your travel needs. And I cannot recommend them enough because not only do they help make this podcast possible and I partner with them, I use them for all my travel needs. So I recommend them in more ways than one. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. Just put your ear as close as you can to your phone. You'll probably hear me screaming into the abyss. And you can join the family at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. One of my friends, I'm not going to identify them in case they listen to this and I didn't clear it first. One of my friends texted me the other day and was like, I can't believe you were at the forefront of foam technology. And it really is wild that like cold foam just appeared on a Starbucks menu. I lost my mind because it made the perfect drink. And now cold foam is like part of our culture. It's still here years later. I started the Foamily in what, like 2019? 2018? It's unbelievable. And here we are still having a thriving community online. Subscribe to my Instagram. It's $1 a month, which seems like pretty low. I'm kind of like, am I devaluing myself? Am I doing that thing where like women don't demand the money that they need? But still, I feel like $1 is good. The pressure is low. We're there hanging out. It's very chill. $1 a month. Would love to have you. It's a blast, and it's been really fun. I highly recommend. This episode was edited chillingly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. I cannot wait to hear about your Disney cruise in Alaska. I know from like the pictures that I saw, it looked incredible, those gorgeous glaciers. Oh, my God. The colors, I can't even imagine how gorgeous they were in real life. They were so pretty just in the pictures. I can't even imagine. The ship pictures were so cute. I love that Ariel met Pearl and later saw her and said, hi, Pearl. I love stuff like that. I love everything about that. Pearl was smiling in every picture, in every video, and she was enjoying her meals, and I saw her clapping along to the video. It was so cute. When the music played, she clapped. It was darling. Nothing better. You know what? Nothing really better than having your little baby having the time of her little life. I enjoyed every picture, and I can't wait to hear so much more of your beautiful memories. I will see you real soon. I'm coming. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl.